Let's just pray as we come around the Word of God. Father, we gather today to hear your word and to receive it in our hearts. Lord Jesus, you are the living word. And I pray that you open the eyes of our hearts to see you more clearly today, to see you in your glory and your majesty and your dominion and your power and your might and your love towards us. Help us to see it through the eyes of our hearts more clearly today. Help us to be ready when you come for us. Help us to be found going about your business, not our own. And I ask this, Lord, for your sake, for your glory, for the kingdom's sake. And I ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, this week, I don't often listen to the radio in the car, but I did turn it on, and it was a Christian station, and I think it might be SDI, I don't know, but I turned it on, and they were talking about the mark of the beast and the times that we're living in. Very interesting. And then I received an email from an old friend, and incidentally, it was an old email, I understand, but that said, as you would know, the rapture will take place any time from now. Everything hindering the rapture has been removed. The gospel has been preached almost everywhere. All the prophecies have been fulfilled. Angels have been physically seen and captured on camera. And there's a place there that gives an indication of that. The devil is working very hard to occupy Christians with the things of this world so that the day will catch them unawares. Please be prepared. There is no more time. Then he goes on, and he's repeating an old email that was sent out quite some time ago. It says, the mark of the beast prophecy has finally been fulfilled. The US Senate has passed this is old news, so don't worry. The US Senate has passed the Obama health bill into law. Notice that there's a struggle going on right now to repeal that, by the way. There was a lot more happening with Mr. Obama than we know. The implementation would commence soon. This bill would require all Americans to be implanted with a radio frequency identification chip in order to access Medicare. The device will be implanted on the forehead or the arm. This is to fulfill the prophecy in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, concerning the mark of the beast, which is my text today, by the way. Are you still doubting the end times? Do you understand and know that the special car which was made for Mr. Obama is known as the Beast. So get ready, the rapture is near. Revelation 13 is being played out right before us. Many are still unaware. Why is the chip being implanted exactly where the Bible said it would be? Why on the hand and the forehead? Why not anywhere else? Why is it being connected to your bank account? Remember, the Bible says that you won't be able to buy or sell without the mark, 666. And guess what? The chip is connected to your financial details. What breaks my heart most is that many people in the church will not make it if Jesus came today. Many are unaware that the end is near. If you miss heaven, you can never miss hell. Think about it. Hell is not a pretty place. The worst part of that is that it's for eternity. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I received that email after just having come home from hearing that radio that was talking about the mark of the beast. And then we turned on the TV news at night, as we do occasionally, we've got a bit of time, and Pauline Hanson actually was today, tonight I think, and she was being interviewed and talking about these scam phone calls that are being sent from overseas and how they should be marked with a 666 that comes up so that people see where the calls come from. Isn't that interesting, Pauline Hanson? And so we're living in those times, folks. There's a report that came, somebody in the church told me last weekend, they said there's a report in the news over that weekend, Australia will be cashless by the end of 2019. Yeah. And so folks, we're living in those times right now. And in the book of Joel, it says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. And so that's what I want to do today. Not just for ourselves, but we certainly need to hear it, but folks, for the people that are around us, the people that Jamie mixed with last night, the people that we meet, the people who come to our door, we need to sound the alarm in my holy mountain. That's what we need to do right now. This message is called Sound the Alarm. I want to share a few scriptures with you first, and then we're going to look, because we're feeding on the word this morning, aren't we? I gather that's why you've come. That's why I'm here anyway. And we're going to end up in Revelation and spend some time in the book of Revelation. But before we do, Daniel 11, verse 32, one of my favourite verses, Genesis to Revelation's favourite, but this one is particular. And such as violate the covenant, he shall pervert and seduce with flatteries. But the people who know their God intimately shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits for the Lord. Just before I came to church, I received a phone call from somebody who said, would you please pray for my sister? My sister was a drug addict. She's come out of that. She's got her life back together again. She's living for purpose. She's got children that she's looking after and they've been able to come together again. But she's got an old school friend who's now, he's an ex-bikie who got thrown out of Australia. And he's living in another country, one of our neighbouring countries, bro. And so he's over there, but he's made contact with her and he's invited her to come. And she's got this real tug on her heart. And she asked her sister what she thinks. She wants to go to be with this fellow who's had a terrible background of drugs. And so I couldn't help but think of this because the text, one of these verses that I had to read with you this morning, is that those that are disobedient to the covenant will be seduced with flatteries. That's what's going behind the scenes right there, is being seduced by flatteries, being taken. This person has once known the Lord. I said, do they believe in the Lord? And they said, well, yes, they believe in him, but they're not serving him. Well, I don't know that that's really believing in him if it's not serving him, according to the scriptures. And so this morning, we just need to be very careful. And so I want to sound the alarm in God's holy mountain this morning, because do you know what? There's only two camps, either in one or we're in the other. There's only two, saved or unsaved, headed for heaven or headed for hell. There's only two camps and there's only two destinies. So in the book of Revelation, and we will look at a few here, so you might want to just keep your Bibles and we'll be working a few in scriptures in the book of Revelation. So this is the word of God, by the way. Jesus is the living word of God. This is the written word of God. Just before we get to that. And then they shall, this is in Matthew, Jesus speaking, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The day is coming when he's going to return, and every eye will see him, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So that day is coming. So Revelation chapter 3, in verses 10 and 11, it says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come on all the earth, on all the world, to try or test them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to his church. He sent the message. He brought the revelation to John, and John wrote it down, and he's bringing that, and he's speaking, I believe, to you and I. It's written down for you and I today, in the hour when it's looking like we're about to see the return of Jesus. It's about to take place. Because you have kept the word of my patience, are you and I keeping the word of God's patience? I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation or testing, which shall come on all the world to try those who dwell upon the earth. And Jesus himself said that unless those days were shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. So we need to be humble this morning as we hear the words of Jesus, and we need to take it into our hearts. That's why I wanted to pray that before we started this morning. Because we need to walk humbly with God, and we want to take heed lest we fall. So let him that stands take heed lest he fall, the one that thinks he stands. So the folks this morning, we need to walk humbly with God and be aware of the hour which we're living in, the hour of testing which is coming upon all the earth, and I believe it's on now. That woman I just spoke about who's being tempted to go to New Zealand to chase after this love affair over here, over there. She's been a married woman, by the way. She's had children, and yet she's being tested. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I love him. I love him, and he loves me, and he's inviting me to come. And she's being seduced. And so, folks, be careful, because Satan knows what he's doing. He knows how to seduce. He intends to deceive even the very elect, even you and I, if he could possibly. So, yes, we're amongst the believers here this morning. We praise the Lord, and I'm so glad to be here and be under preaching that's holiness and righteousness, because we need to hear it, because the Lord wants to protect you and I. He wants to keep us, if we'll keep the word of his patience, if we'll be totally obedient, then he will keep. Jesus said, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try those who live upon the earth. And behold, I come quickly. I think it's going to happen quicker than we realize. We all see things speeding up, and I think we're very, very close to Jesus appearing. And so what should we be doing? We need to hear this morning, so we're guarding our own hearts with all diligence this morning. And that I want to be found going about his business, doing what he wants me to be doing. That means having an ear that wants to hear and is listening to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. How do you hear it? It doesn't light in the sky. It's a still small voice that speaks in the inner man. And so we have to, and you have to humble ourselves. We have to. And we have to have an ear. We have to incline ourselves and say, Lord, I want to hear. I want to be led by your Spirit. I want to hear your voice. That's why we pray this way this morning, and that's why we're gathered in this case. I just want to ask you a question, and I'm getting to the scripture in a minute. Have you ever wondered why all the teaching about money at offering time? Ever wondered about that? Have you ever stopped to realize that it's for yours and my good and our protection? It's actually much more significant than we realize. It isn't about getting more money. It's not about that. It's actually, there's a spirit to do with money.
I mean.
We have to be very, very careful.
Yep. Awesome.
You know, there's a saying one time that says, if you save down to your pocket, then you're really saved. In other words, what's your priority? What's my priority? Our wallet or God? He doesn't want to need our money. I was watching a worship video during the week, and it was had a, in the background as this song. It was a beautiful, beautiful song. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. And in the background was a portrait of the city of God, the streets of gold, just in the background, just over the way a little bit, the streets of gold. He doesn't need our money. The streets are paved with gold in heaven. So what's God after? It's our hearts. He's after our heart. That's what he wants. And so we are to keep our hearts with all diligence this morning. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so we need to watch our hearts this morning, because we're right on the eve, right on Jesus' return is right on the doorstep, I believe. And so if he comes in the second or the third watch and finds them going about his work, blessed are those servants whom the Lord will find when he comes watching. So I want to be amongst those, don't you? And you know what? We can't serve two masters. You just can't do it. You can't serve God and the world system. You can't. You cannot do that. It's impossible. Jesus said it. You cannot do it. You'll either love one or hate the other, or else you'll hold to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. So let's go to Revelation. We're going to look in chapter 13, but before we do, I want to read you something from chapter 1. Karen and I just finished reading through as we do from time to time. Read through the whole scriptures, but Revelation, we've been reading it there lately, and you might think to yourself, yeah, well, I'd like to read there too. It's a hard book to understand, and it is, isn't it? But you know, you can only know it. It comes by revelation. That's why we need to hear the voice of God and the Holy Spirit to interpret it to us. But my advice to you is read it and take what you can take hold of, take it. And what you can't hold and what you can't understand, don't worry about it. The time will come later on. You keep waiting on God, and every time you read it, you will see more and more. But listen to what is said in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 1. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's who it came from, which God gave unto him, John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Listen to this. Blessed is he that reads, and they that shall hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's a special blessing on the person who reads the book of Revelation, and there's also an equal blessing upon the person who hears it read. Now, my eyes are not so good these days, and I battle a bit with my eyes, and so Carol does the reading when we're having our devotions together, and so she was reading, and I thought, praise the Lord, there's a blessing for her, there's a blessing for me. Blessed is that person who reads, and those who hear the words of his prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now let's go over to chapter 13 of Revelation. Speaking about our times. It's a revelation. Remember, this is Jesus gave this revelation to John. John wrote it down in the things that he could understand in his time of living. And so he didn't live in the atomic age and the other ages that we're living in, the high-tech age that you and I are living in. But he wrote down what he saw. That's what he was told to do. And I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. We're talking, I believe, about the rise of the Antichrist. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Listen to this. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him. We need to know who we serve, folks, and we need to know which side we are standing on and where we're going to stand, even if we're to die for it. We need to have our minds made up and our spirits set so that we know where we stand. Because this person is going to speak great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now that works out to 3.5 years, by the way. And he opened his mouth. The tribulation period is a period of 7 years. So this has something to do, but maybe it's halfway through the tribulation period. I'll leave you to ask the Lord to show you what it means. And when he tells you, you make sure you tell me too. And we'll see if I agree with you. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme God's name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I couldn't help but think, as Jamie was giving a testimony a little earlier, the devil's come down and knows his time is short, and he's angry. This is the time we're living in, folks. He's angry, and remember, he intends to seduce, if he possibly can, even the very elect. And so he's very, very active just now, and he knows his time is short, he's very angry, but the saints overcome. He came to make war with the saints, which this is referring to, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's by putting their trust in Jesus Christ and making sure their sins are confessed and forsaken and forgiven, just like was shared with us at communion time. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's why that time in our service is so important. And by the word of their testimony, very, very powerful when people get up and testify of what God has done. And they love not their lives to the death. In other words, they're willing to even die for what they believe. So people who make fun of you and ridicule you, if you can't stand for Jesus in the face of that, how are you going to stand when we're faced with the threat of our life? And so that's why we need to hear this message this morning, the words of Jesus, and be ready, because we live in those times, folks. And it could well be, I have a feeling within me, that it could well be a short time of very serious persecution in Australia. It's already coming, I believe, and it's showing its signs, where the tide has turned so much that Christians could not only be persecuted, but could be tested with their lives. I don't know. But I feel Jesus wrote this down for a reason, don't you? I think he gave this to John for a reason, and he's laid it on their hearts to look at it this morning. And it was given unto him in verse 7 to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given over to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. They love not their lives to the death. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and cursed the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. Caused the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast. And he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them, here we are, and deceiveth them which dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Just let me pause there a minute. I had a conversation with somebody this week who was saying, I believe in God, yeah, oh, you baptized me back all those years ago. But Noah's Ark, we have a little problem. He was in the ark for how many days, how many months? How long was it? About a year or whatever. And he had all those animals on there, 7 of this kind and 2 of the other kind. What happened to all the manure? Well, and this is a believer, and well said, so called. And where, how did they get fed for all that time? Well, I leave you to make your own productions. As I did. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Is anything too hard for God? If God organized and God knew how to build the ark, do you think he didn't think about those little issues and get them sorted out beforehand? I don't know how he did it, but I'm sure he did. I just don't question. I don't have a question in my mind about it. I'm convinced that where God guides, God makes a way.
Amen.
He takes care of even the manure if he needs to. So there you go. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man may buy or sell save he that hath the mark, or the mark of the beast, or the number of his mark, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it was the number of a man, is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. I had somebody ask me yesterday, as a matter of fact, do you believe that the rapture, they were asking me if I was going to preach today, because they weren't going to be here, I told them. And they said, well, do you believe that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation, or during the tribulation, or after the tribulation? I said, you know what? I don't believe the issue is so much when it's going to happen as be ready.
Amen.
So that's my words to you this morning.
Amen.
Don't even let it worry you whether it's halfway through the tribulation or not. Let's just be ready. If you're not ready to die for the Lord now, I don't believe we'd be ready in 3.5 years' time if the tribulation started today. The rapture was after the tribulation. We wouldn't last 3.5 years, and we wouldn't be able to. We'd come in here if we can't serve Him now with all of our heart, and all of our mind, and all of our soul. And I want to talk about the mark of the beast. Where does this mark originate, and how can you and I recognize it and be ready to refuse it, and be resolute to refuse it? Because He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, may well be halfway through the tribulation period. Whether the rapture is before this, and we're saved from it, that's a very strong possibility. That's why I lean to that one. But it could be mid, during, or it could be at the end. And there's well-knowing believers, well-trusted authorities who believe probably all three of those positions. So my advice is, don't worry about it, just be ready. So it causes both small and great, rich and poor, power, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And I'll tell you what, we are well progressed already in Australia, and they were with Obamacare, they were well advanced in America too, and it's coming on. Maybe because Australia, they say, in the main news by the way, that Australia is going to be cashless by the end of next year, they know we are well advanced in this too, and maybe that's because they know Australia is multicultural, multi-ethnic and built of many nations, and Australia is ready and at the forefront and can easily be receiving all of this and moving with it. I don't know. In verse 4, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto thee? And in the next verse it says, and there was given unto him a smooth mouth, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, or 3.5 years. Now, in the book of Revelation, again, over in chapter 4, we won't turn there, but it appears, well, in verse 4 it says that Jesus spoke to John. He says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And on the basis of that, many people believe that the things that happen after, that are revealed after chapter 4 in Revelation, were in fact after the rapture of the church. So that's a very strong factor towards a pre-tribulation rapture. But like I said here, the issue is not when, the issue is being ready. If we're not ready to serve Him now, we won't be ready to serve Him any time. And so we need to be very, very careful about that. In verse 5 of chapter 4 it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. Remember, he's giving a revelation about the time we're living in. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Isn't that interesting? Pastor Noble's enlighten us about this and brought it to our attention in more recent times. From Isaiah chapter 11, what are the 7 spirits of God? The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Jesus, in Jesus, the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and and the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. That's the Spirit of the Lord. This is Jesus that the Spirit of God will rest upon. If you want wisdom, it's Jesus who is the holder of all wisdom. And so, folks, people might outside might think you and I are weird, and they might think we're brainwashed or whatever they like to think about that. But I know where I stand, don't you? Because Jesus is the holder of all wisdom and all authority. He's the holder of all understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. Not just fear of the Lord, but the reverential obedient fear of the Lord. Many will say, Lord, Lord, but don't obey him, as has already been referred to this morning. There's many, many people. I had somebody come to my house just very recently. This very day, as a matter of fact. And was probably wondering why I was a little quiet. And Carol said, oh, he's preaching this morning, that's why he's quiet. She said, oh, yeah, well, my brother's a minister, and my uncle is too, and the other one's this. Oh, yeah, they were going off for the day to do something very different to what we're doing today. Well, they're believers. But they're not doing what we do. I don't want you to say that critically, by the way, but I'll tell you what. Actions speak louder than words, don't they? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So, folks, this is not about being religious. This is about serving Jesus, really, because we're going to see him. Our eyes are going to see him, and we're going to stand before him. Now, there's been much speculation about the mark of the beast. What is it? It obviously has to do with money, and it has to do with the world financial system. I believe that the mark of the beast is on the heart before it gets a mark on our forehead, a physical mark that's seen on a man's forehead or his forearm. And I believe that mark, which is in the heart, is the mark of covetousness. Amen. So we need to be very, very careful. I want to consider with you the curse of covetousness and what it leads to, its result, its conclusion, where it leads a person, the ultimate destiny that it leads them. Its victims too. Remember what I said? Jesus himself said, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. If we've got covetousness in our hearts, then we cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do the two things. And that's the beginnings of what I believe will end up being the physical mark of the beast to a person who allows covetousness a place in their hearts. And so we need to understand what covetousness is and the seriousness of this. Exodus talks about it. It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant or his ox or his ass or anything that is his, your neighbor's. I believe that sitting in front of TV and seeing immorality happening on the television, which you hardly can even turn it on without it being in somewhere, I don't believe we can look on that without it affecting us. And God says, thou shalt not covet. Because the word covet means to desire earnestly, to set the heart and mind upon anything, to long after, to try to gain, to desire unlawfully, or to secure. Hence in the Bible it's called lust, or a big fancy word, concupiscence. And so 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about this. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money is not, but the love of money. Money's a good servant, but it's a master that will take a person to hell if it becomes master. So it must only be a servant. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Not wrong to want to do well and prosper. God intends it for us. As a matter of fact, his word says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. Did you hear that? God loves it. But he wants it to be a servant and not a master. Hence the instruction we received at the offering time this morning. It's a very wonderful thing. And in Romans 13, he talks a bit more about covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. For this commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness or tell lies, even to the tax department or anybody else. You shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus said, whoever looks after a woman to lust after her, in the flesh or on TV, same, or on the cinema screen, has committed adultery with her already in his heart. 1 Corinthians. These things are written for our examples. with the intention that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and many of them were destroyed in the wilderness. Romans 7 verses 7 and 8 talks about, what shall we conclude then? Is the law identical with sin? Certainly not. Nevertheless, if it had not been for the law, I should not have recognized sin or known its meaning. For instance, I would not have known about covetousness. I would not have had any consciousness of sin or sense of guilt if the law had not repeatedly said, you shall not covet, and had an evil desire for one thing or another. But sin, finding opportunity in the commandment to express itself, got a hold on me and aroused and stimulated all kinds of forbidden desires, lust, covetousness, for without the law, sin is dead. The sense of it is inactive and a lifeless thing. So what are we going to do with this? Aldi advertising, all sorts of lovely specials out there. I went down yesterday morning early because I wanted to catch up with one of their bargains. I wanted to do my own fertilising, my own lawn from now on. And so I went down because they had one advertised for $25. But I came back with the wrong thing. I came back with a lawn aerator instead of a my wife put it straight. She took it straight back and got it $25 back. So praise the Lord. But what should we do? We've got to avoid covetousness. Colossians 3 verse 5 says, so kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. That's what we're to put to death. We're to kill it. Sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry. It's the deifying of self and other created beings instead of God. So what's the posture that you and I should have? What's the attitude of heart in this critical time of testing that we're in? Do you believe that? You know, we're in a time when God is allowing, in fact, I read it to you earlier, this time of testing, I will keep you in the hour of testing that's coming upon the whole earth. So you and I, don't be naive, folks. Let not you or me be naive in the times that we're living in. There's a time of testing coming upon the earth when even the very elect would be deceived unless that time is shortened. So we need to press in with God. We need to decide it's all or nothing with God. We need to throw our lot in and be totally surrendered to Him. We had an encounter series that ran over about 3 months. And on the last night, Pastor Noble summed it up in one night there, and there was a questionnaire for us to fill out. And I really want to be right with God and have my heart clean and have everything dealt with in the past. And as I went through that, I filled it out honestly before God. And I prayed the prayer that we all prayed together. I think there's a line right across here. I was wholehearted in committing myself to that. Do you know what? From that day, from actually that night, even before the night was out, I felt a freedom and a change in the atmosphere in my life that I've felt ever since. And it continues today. And so, folks, there's no other way than to trust and obey, to be totally, to repent and be made clean, and to determine in our hearts, I'm going to live for Jesus. Now, incidentally, we'll have to do the same thing tomorrow morning. It's a daily thing. Let's take up our cross daily. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross daily to follow me. And that means to put to death, kill, just like I just read to you, deaden, deprive of power, the evil desire lurking in your members with all those things that I just read to you. So, in going back to our text in chapter 13, verse 7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Don't be surprised if all hell has broken loose around you and there's a struggle going on over your soul. It's a life and death struggle that's going on over you. Don't delay a moment to do what was said at communion time, to deal with our everything today and to let go of everything and let no stronghold be over our lives from today. The word came before the service, before the pastor stood up there. At the end of the worship time, a word came from the Lord, and then Pastor Noble picked up on that during the offering time, the communion time. And so we need to be very, very careful because we are in this time of testing that is to come upon the earth future. To test you, yes. God's allowing you to be tested, and me. He's allowing us to be tested. And he will bring past you and I, he'll allow the devil to bring past you and I things that will, if possible, deceive us and seduce us. Unless we know our God intimately and we're determined, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. And so that's the good posture we must take, because do you know what? This has consequences for eternity. This decides heaven or hell. We have to daily take up our cross to follow Jesus Christ. Because we're in a time of testing, and it was given to him in verse 7 to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And then it says in verse 9, if any man has an ear to hear, let him hear. And if you'll just bear with me, and we'll look at a few scriptures in Revelation, as we look there, in chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus gives this revelation to John. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The churches, to the people sitting in church on Sunday morning, even in 2017, because God ordained for it to be written down and laid upon my heart to preach it this morning. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Folks, there's a war on, and it's not an easy thing. It's life and death struggle. It's on. We need to decide where we stand. But I'll tell you what, the rewards are worth it. So much so that Jesus said, the person who finds this treasure hidden in the field goes and sells all that he has,
wow,
gives away everything else, so they have the treasure of what I'm sharing with you and what we're told about in the book of Revelation. Let's look at a few more. Verses 10 to 12 of chapter 2. And here's the Lord speaking to us this morning. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes, there is a fight, there is a battle. He that overcomes, and Jesus already won it, by the way. If you and I stay close to him and obedient to him, we will overcome. To him that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. In chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, here's the answer. Repent. That's not a once-only thing, just a communion time. Actually, it's an attitude of heart that we need to walk with daily. We need to keep short accounts with God, because we're all sinful human beings. We all have a sinful nature, shall we say. And we're all capable of the worst. And so every day, as holy and righteous as we want and intend to be, and we are, we have the righteousness of God. But our human sinful nature wants to take over all the time. So he says, repent. Have an attitude of repentance. Or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. I wonder why that keeps getting repeated. You got any ideas? Have you ever stopped to think about why is it repeated all these times? I've got one more, about 3 pages of it. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes, well, I read you that one. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. Down in verse 25 of the same chapter. But that which you have already, that which you have already, hold fast till I come. When you go out of church this morning, having considered and got your heart right with God during communion, having heard Jesus, the living word, revealing the written word, out of the written word, revealing himself to us this morning, let's go out of here being very careful. Hold fast after you go out today. Tomorrow morning the war continues. In fact, it'll probably start, let me see, what's the time, 12? It'll probably start about 1 o'clock. The war will be about 1 minute past 12. The war will continue. So that's why he says, that which you already have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And I believe when the rapture happens and we're caught up to be with the Lord, when he comes back in the second coming, when every eye will see him, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, I believe that we are part of a white army that will come back clothed in white linen, coming back with Jesus in the clouds. And I think we'll be, this is just me speaking now, I think we'll be like the angels, and we will be given authority over the nations depending on our faithfulness now. We have an awesome future, folks. It is a big battle. It's life and death struggle. But what a huge future you and I have for eternity. Chapter 3 now, verses 5 and 6. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. That's what we'll be clothed with when we come back with that great army. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, praise the Lord. But I will confess his name before my Father. Jesus will do that. And before his angels. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to Calvary Assembly this morning. He that thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. Revelation 3 again, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. He's telling us, folks, I'm coming quickly. In another place he says, I stand at the door Behold, they come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. He that overcomes. It's a nice little saying, overcoming. Yeah, it'd be nice to be, I want to be an overcomer, don't you? Well, that's indicating that there's a war and there's a struggle, and it's not an easy thing. It's a life and death struggle, in matter of fact. And so he that overcomes, and we'll only overcome by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting your all to him. That's how we overcome. To that person I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and I'll write on him my new name. There it is again. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the Calvary Assembly this morning. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door of your heart and mine, I'm knocking continually. I love you. I want you to hear what was spoken in communion. I want you to take it into your heart. Guard your heart and keep it with all diligence. And service by service, we have the opportunity, we are stirred to do just that. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door of his heart, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame. Consider that, even as I overcame. Consider what Jesus overcame. God will give you and I the power to overcome too. And am set down with my Father on his throne, in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the people of Calvary Assembly this morning. So covetousness is the mark. I should, think I should read you one more. Revelation 21, verse 6, sure. 7, 6 to 8. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. This is Jesus speaking. The beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst. Are you thirsty this morning? You made the first step by being here. But in your heart, are you thirsty for the word of God, the written word? Through the written word to meet and know and serve the living word, to see him high and lift it up as we sing. And he that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life, I will give to that person freely. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my people. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, that is, the covetous, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's horrifying to me to think that we can stand in church and I love you Lord, I love you Jesus, but actually you not be obeying him and be amongst these here and be doing some of these things and be so deceived in our minds we don't even see it for what it is. And think, this is what's wrong with once saved, always saved, is that a person starts to think that they can do some of these things, but God will overlook the little deviations that we make. Well, no, it cost him his life's blood, the life's blood of his son. It's a very serious thing, and we must not willfully go into that place at all. So covetousness is a mark that's on the heart long before that person takes the mark, the outward mark of the beast. So are you ready this morning? Have I convinced you? One final word. Jesus said in Luke 12, he said, take heed, take notes, be careful, listen up, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, I've been very challenged myself over the last several years about this very thing, because I wanted to go places. My dad never had much more than two bob to rub together. I was determined I wasn't going to end up like that. I was going to make my place and make a mark and get things. But you know what? God's dealt with me out of that verse there and said, you know what? I will be your real reward. I will be your real reward. Let's beware of covetousness this morning, because that's what is the mark on the heart long before it ever becomes a mark on the body. And God said to that man, when Jesus spoke those words, he got, went on and told the parable about the man who was a farmer who built bigger barns and said, hey, I've done well this year, I've had a good season, I'm going to pull down this barn and build some big ones and store all up so that very soon I'll be able to retire and live in Kingston. And so God said to him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Whose then shall these things be which thou hast provided? And so is that person. He's a fool, that person who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's the word of the Lord to us this morning, folks. As best I'm able to bring what God's put in my heart, I hope you're feeling challenged and stirred in your heart. And I urge you this morning, lay hold of what God has spoken. Don't worry about the weakness of the people who present it, but lay hold of what God has spoken. Lay hold of what Jesus has said. Let that person take heed. Let that person who hears take heed how they've heard this morning and what you do with what you've heard this morning. Because Jesus loves you. He loves me. He loves us. He's got good plans for us. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. He died and took stripes so that we could be made whole. We could have an answer to sickness. Somebody came to our door. When was it? The Friday night. And this person was delivering something in my home. And this person had a very severe toothache for more than 3 days. Very, very serious. They'd been to 2 dentists. They'd been to a specialist, they'd been to a doctor, they'd been to a chemist, and it was 3 days later, they'd taken all the advice and all the help and all the examination, they'd had a deep root canal drilled out again and a fresh one put in, and the pain was worse than ever, and it's 3 days later, and it was agonizing. They had a sleepless night the night before, and they came to our door, and this person said, "Oh, this person is a believer, would you pray for them?" As they were waiting at the door. It all lasted about 2 minutes, they were just delivering somebody. So Caroline put her hands on this person, and we sang it this morning. It's power in the name of Jesus. We talk about the name of Jesus. And so we are acutely aware, especially at a time like that, you're probably like me, acutely aware of your weakness right at that time. The devil whispers in your ear from behind and says, "Who do you think you are praying for? You've got nothing in you." Well, I've got the Spirit of God in me. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that pain, and I command you, pain, I cancel you in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease now, and I release this person, and I do it by the grace of God. In the name of Jesus, pain ceased. Now, they went their way. I've got a text message I was going to read to you, but I don't think I'll bother to read it to you. I've got a text message this morning saying, "Thank you so much, and praise God, because you know what? The pain has ceased, and I'm well." That was Saturday morning, and I just heard this morning the person is still well, the pain has not returned, they are well. So, folks, that's the Jesus that I've been preaching to you about this morning.
Amen.
That's who's written about.
Amen.
This book here. It's the written word of Jesus, and Jesus is the living word. I want to have my life totally in his hands. I want to appreciate every day his healing, the good health that I enjoy from him, the healing, the prosperity that he brings. He daily loads us with benefits. Daily. They chase after us, the Bible says. That's good news if we are totally yielded to him, to his will, to his will. And so we're going to have an altar call, and if you need prayer, remember that scripture that says, "Guard your heart with all diligence." You may be being stirred about something in your heart. There's no shame in coming out and saying, "Hey, I want my heart to be right with God," because every day we need to do it. So the altars are open just now for you to get up while I'm speaking and come out here, and the prayer team will pray for you. And I know that God will touch you today like he touched that lady who came in front of you. So what are you waiting for? It's important that we have our hearts right with God before we go out of here today. And so I invite you to come. If you felt convicted or prompted or spoken to by the Holy Spirit about some issue in your life, then I urge you to come and take the opportunity before God. Don't be worried about what other people think. When you and I stand before God on the judgment, it won't matter what anybody else thought. It really will not matter. All I want to hear is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And today, I want my heart to be right with him, don't you? Mm. The altars are open.